Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
A late shot on the rim.
Oh! The finisher, Lowry Markkanen!
The crossover, LaVine!
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young!
What up? It's Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag and the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell here, as always, with Jason Pat. Jason, I'm tired as hell right now. We were both covering the All-Star game. I think I got to sleep at like 2:30 a.m. or later last night. Really fun weekend, though.
Yeah, my first All-Star game. I believe it was yours, too, right, covering it? Yeah. So our first All-Star experience, a lot of fun here in Chicago. It was obviously super fucking cold the first day of it, but then it got really nice. Obviously, the Bulls did not have much of a presence at all. We did have Zach LaVine in a three-point contest, and he, unfortunately, did not advance with a score of 23 points. Respectable score of 23 points, but I believe it was what Buddy Hield won it. Devin Booker, Davis Bertans, they advanced with pretty high scores with the whole new three-point format with the Mountain Dew ball. Zach LaVine admitted he should have had his money ball in the corners because he literally made all his money ball shots and then stunk it up from like the wings in the top of the key, which is where he had his money ball. So just another bummer for the Bulls there. We were able to talk to Zach a bit at his media day session. We also talked to Wendell Carter Jr. We'll talk about that a little bit in a bit. But yeah, I mean, just in general, like the Bulls obviously kind of came away as a huge joke at this All-Star weekend. We will talk a bit more about possible front office changes, reports that came out. But yeah, I mean, there was the whole thing with a big story of the weekend was Zach LaVine going on First Take and the fire guard packs chance that came up. And there a lot of people just kind of ripping on the Bulls like Charles Barkley did, Pippen did. A lot of people just ripping on the Bulls. Super unfortunate. There was like, and they had like no presence at all. Like Adam Silver at his press conference, which we both got to watch, which was really interesting. He thanked them off the top at his press conference, and he thanked them before he was handing out the MVP. But that was it. Like there was no Michael Reinsdorf like appearance on the court. I thought they were gonna do the little handoff thing. That didn't happen. I don't know if they did that. Like they didn't do it like out of embarrassment. Like I didn't. Paxson didn't talk. Foreman didn't talk. Boylan wasn't there. Like, it was basically just LaVine and Carter, like no ownership representation there, which is probably for the better. It just kind of shows us how unfortunate it is, because at the All-Star game itself, they started it off with a really dope, like an intro video that had like Common and Michael Jordan did something for that. Dwayne Wade, just a bunch of Chicago tributes, and just shows you like how the rich history of Chicago basketball, and it was really cool. But like, I mean, nothing involved with this current Bulls team because they're kind of a joke. So just while the experience itself was awesome, just being around all the players, getting to ask some of the guys questions, asking LaVine and Carter questions, the All-Star game itself was really awesome. It was obviously very noticeable just how the lack of a presence of the Bulls in general and just kind of the general embarrassment of them and just from around the league. They're also in the three-point contest. John Hollinger made a Jim Boylan timeout joke as LaVine was finishing up his three-point contest. So it's just like, really fun weekend for us. A lot of Bulls embarrassment still.
Yeah, the Bulls were absolutely humiliated. You mentioned Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen is on the payroll still as a team ambassador, and he was quoted as saying, "I don't even know who half the players on the team are." So that's great. We love you, Scottie Pippen. And then, yeah, the First Take chant, the fire guard packs. I mean, that was just like chef's kiss. I mean, that was too good to be true. I thought that, you know, it was no coincidence that there was a report to come out right before the All-Star game started from the Tribune, the Sun-Times, I think Woj had it too, about the Bulls hiring a new GM, you know, after the season. We'll talk about that more later, but mostly I think that, like, that was an obvious plant to, like, pacify fans, to make sure that we didn't get a fire Garpax chant at the game. Like you said, Michael Reinsdorf didn't make the customary owner's appearance at half court, which normally happens every year. So, yeah, I mean, Bulls suck. Not news to anyone involved. And they really did have very little presence. So, you know, we started this weekend on Friday, I believe, with media availability for the Rising Stars Challenge. So Wendell was in that. And he still spoke to the media, even though he's hurt. So the one piece of news from that is that Wendell said he intends to play the Bulls' first game back when the second half of the season starts. So that's good news. And then what was kind of cool is he was tucked away in the corner for media. So there wasn't a big zoo around him. Yeah. Like, I tried to talk to RJ Barrett just before that, and like, I couldn't even get a question in. It was impossible. But with Wendell, he was like in the back of the arena. So basically it's like me, Jason, VJ, Cody Westerland, Jamal, just like a small contingent of Bulls media reporters. And it was nice because it felt like a little more personal of a setting, and because we could actually get some questions off. So at one point I asked Wendell what he thought of Boylan. I was mostly like, well, Wendell, you've played for a lot of different coaches in your career. How does Jim Boylan stack up to him? And I said it with a big smile on my face, and Wendell looks at me, and he starts laughing, and he had a big smile on his face. And he took a second, he collected himself, and then he was like, well, you know, we didn't have a very good relationship at first, but now I love him, and he's one of my favorite coaches ever. And he's just staring at me, smiling. He was totally lying. It was hilarious. So, you know, just good vibes right from the very start. That was one of my favorite moments of the whole weekend.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I mean, definitely just the huge grin on his face, the laugh. And the fact that he admitted that, like, he did not get along with him as much as I, like, hoped or, like, wanted to. And then he claims, like, you know, like, he brought up, like, the care factor thing. He didn't actually, like, say care factor, but he basically said, yeah, you know, like, Jim, like, he cares a lot, and he, like, comes and helps out a lot, like, and I can't remember exactly what he said.
He said he was rebounding for him.
Yeah, yes, right. He'll like come back and like help him on the court with rebounding and all that kind of stuff. And like, now Jim's one of my favorites. And it's like, whatever, man. That was definitely good. He did also, I think, we didn't get as much of this with Zach just because there were a lot more people around with Zach. But you mentioned like the intimate stuff, and there were some good questions, especially you, Ricky. You were able to get a lot of stuff just about like his role in the offense and some of the stuff that he like wants to do. I think it was you who asked the question about him doing more playmaking, and it's clearly something that he would like to do more of. And I know I asked him about the 3-point shooting, and he said he'd like to take 2 or 3 3-pointers a game. He's only at like, I think he's under 1 per game. And I think it was you who asked him about the mid-range shooting, where he'll get the ball like whatever 18, 20 feet away, and he won't even like look at the basket. And he kind of claimed that it's just you know, it's me just looking for a better shot, hoping to get a better shot. So it was really interesting, some of the stuff he talked about in terms of like his role in the offense, in terms of the blitzing pick and roll stuff, which we've harped on a lot. He talked about how tough it is and like how you got to really be in good shape to do that. So I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, the Wendell stuff was, I think, really enlightening. Just, we'll have more at Bloggable about it. I wrote a quick thing about the news there where you said, yeah, he's hoping to play in this first game against Charlotte on Thursday. He's not totally sure if it's going to happen, but it is past the, I think it's like, we're at like the 6-week park right now, mark right now, and it was supposed to be a 4 to 6 week injury, this ankle injury. So, I mean, I feel like he should be back on Thursday. We'll see if that's actually the case. He clearly wants to be back, and he's hoping, so we'll see about that. So yeah, a lot of good stuff from Wendell.
I gotta say, though, dude, I blew it, because all I wanted to do was ask him, Wendell, do you guys actually use the punch clock when you come into practice? Like, is the punch clock still a thing? I wanted to ask a follow-up on the leadership committee, but, like, in that setting, you can't, like, lead with those questions. You kind of gotta, like, let the athlete warm up to you first, and before I was gonna get those off, they ended the media availability, so
yeah, it was like about 15 minutes, and yeah, like you asked some good stuff. We asked some good stuff, and it would have felt maybe weird to ask kind of those like I don't want to say trolley questions, but yeah, maybe like really like searching for him to like maybe rip on Boylan or something like that. But I literally have totally forgot about the punch clock thing, and I feel like that's been that was a whole thing of like embarrassment and humiliation early in the season. I totally forgot about it. It would have been really funny if you were able to ask that.
Yeah, so that was really great. And then I thought the dunk contest was sick. I mean, being at that was super dope. We were thinking that maybe Zach would make a surprise appearance, because there was a video that went viral on Friday of Zach trying to do a 360 dunk from the foul line. Zach actually said that he made that dunk once in Minnesota, that it's on film. He's like, either Wiggins was filming it, or Wiggins is in the background, the Chris Dunn's in the background, and that he did to land that. So, holy shit, a 360 from the foul line. That's awesome. Zach didn't compete, but his old nemesis, his old dunking nemesis, I should say, Aaron Gordon did. I wrote that Aaron Gordon got robbed. I think it's a sentiment that, you know, a lot of people shared. But, you know, dunk contest was just really fun. Like, you could feel the intensity in there. Most of the guys were landing them on their first attempt. Derrick Jones was also awesome, too. Like, even though people are saying that that Gordon should have won, I mean, Jones raised the level of the competition. So he was tremendous as well.
I mean, even Pat Connaughton, he did the white man can't jump dunk, and I think he did that one over Christian Yelich, and then he dunked over, I think, Giannis, and did like the tap on the backboard. He wasn't able to advance because it was Gordon and Derrick Jones Jr., but I mean, he was good. I mean, Dwight is Dwight, but he did the Superman and a Kobe tribute, and he made it on the first try. It was like a lob over the backboard, and he flew for, I mean, for the old man, I thought Dwight's dunks were pretty good. I mean, he was never going to win, but I feel like he was better than expected. I think he missed his first try once, and then he made a pretty tough dunk that it kind of just looked too easy because I feel like he's just too big and doesn't, like, soar like some of these other guys do. But and then I think he nailed the Kobe tribute dunk. So, like, all these guys, like, yeah, Jones and Eric Gordon, I mean, they had the dunk off. There was the whole controversy about the judging and Dwayne Wade and the possible bias with the judging and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I mean, even the three-point contest, Buddy Hield won that on, like, a walk-off. Like, so that was both those contests were really good. I mean, the skills competition is kind of like a whatever, but, like, Bam Adebayo won that one, I mean, and that was pretty good. The big guys kind of dominated that competition, which was kind of funny. So, yeah, like, the All-Star Saturday night was great. I guess one thing about Zach LaVine, I did ask him if at the media session if Jim Boylan did help him at all to prepare for the three-point contest, and he said, well, he first brought up the Marco Bellinelli thing, and then he said he hadn't really talked to Boylan. Clearly, that was what was missing. Jim Boylan did not help Zach LaVine. He hadn't talked to him in a while about it. So if only Jimbo would have given him some tips, maybe Zach would have won.
Hilarious.
the game itself was just a ton of fun. As you mentioned, with the whole new format, everyone seemed to love it. The fourth quarter was, like, legitimately super intense. The first quarter guys were definitely taking it easy. I think Team LeBron had like 50-some points. The second quarter kind of as well. But then the third quarter, I feel like they started to tighten up. The end of the third quarter was great because they were doing each quarter for charity. And the end of the third quarter was really close. So we had like coaches calling timeouts. They were doing like ATOs trying to set up plays. That ended up being tied and rolling over the charity to the fourth quarter. And the whole fourth quarter was like full-blown playoff intensity. Kyle Lowry took multiple charges. There were multiple coaches' challenges for replays. Giannis and LeBron were going back and forth with blocking shots and playing defense. It was definitely just a great format. Like, I don't know if the format was all, like, you can credit all of it, because I think just close games, these All-Star games can't. I think Frank Vogel mentioned that. Like, if an All-Star game is close, they will try. But the format definitely helped here. And then the whole Elam ending thing, I know it ended on a free throw. I guess it probably would be a little better. Maybe they'll make that tweak where you have to make a basket. What do you think about that? Do you think ending on a free throw is fine? There was some mixed reaction from the players after the game on that.
I think the easy change to make is no bonus. That's what I felt like was disappointing. Like, we were in the bonus late in the game, and just take the bonus out of it when you're playing Elam ending style. But otherwise, I thought the format change was great. I talked to some of the players after the game. They all thought it was cool, and they said they would like to see it moving forward. Pretty much universally, they all said that. So, yeah, I got to say, like, Giannis was literally playing as hard as he could, especially on the defensive end in crunch time. That was kind of crazy to see. Tom Ziller wrote a thing for us at SB Nation where he said, you know, the format was definitely a success, but one thing to worry about is that, you know, someone could get hurt in this All-Star game moving forward. And Giannis kind of was, like, walking a little gingerly, I thought, into post-game media availability.
He walked right past us.
Yeah, and he played more minutes in that All-Star game than he does in most regular season games, too. So, like, that's kind of a head-scratcher.
Well, Kemba Walker as well. Kemba did his post-game presser with Giannis, and he was wearing just an absolute dope green, like, velvet robe. He looked incredible. But he claimed that he played through a minutes restriction, that, like, he was supposed to have a minutes restriction, but then since the fourth quarter was so intense and close, he wanted to keep playing, and Nick Nurse let him keep playing, which I thought was kind of wild. That was, when I tweeted that out, I had a lot of people in my in my mentions and like quote tweeting saying like Nick Nurse like light years ahead. He's sabotaging the Celtics by playing Kemba through
minutes
restriction. And I saw some other guys talking about it, like that. Well, the Celtics like would they be mad about that? Was he joking about that? I thought that was kind of funny. Giannis also had a funny quote saying that they targeted James Harden defensively, but it didn't work because Team Giannis was awful offensively down the stretch. I feel like Giannis was probably gassed offensively because he was trying so hard defensively because he kind of faded like to the side because they kept trying like Embiid and like Siakam
post-ups. Yeah, it was really
bizarre.
I was
like, what's going on here? I feel like they kept like that same lineup that whole time around the stretch. I thought maybe they'd make a change, maybe to get more shooting out there, but they kept just kind of bash. Like Embiid and Siakam post-ups, and Giannis was kind of quiet offensively down the stretch. That block of LeBron was one of the best blocks you'll see. Just timing it, pinning it against the backboard at the exact right time. Like, that was absolutely incredible. Just incredible night. Just a fun time all around. And these format changes, I think, definitely were a positive. And hope they'll make some more 2 weeks moving forward. But I think in general, this should hopefully work. Another thing was just. It was cool, the charity thing, like all the kids like being right behind that basket.
Super tight.
They were obviously having a ton of fun. Yeah, it was just really cool. Just the atmosphere, the crowd was just super into it all fourth quarter, and that's clearly what the NBA was going for, is to get the fans more engaged, and it worked. At least this time it worked, so hopefully that they'll be able to build on that and keep doing it well. Before we talk about the Bulls front office possible changes reported, let's take a quick note from our sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all things sports. March Madness, Masters, and Major League Opening Day are right around the corner. BetOnline has you covered for all your latest news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Best part is when you sign up, you receive a 50% welcome bonus. The Wilder Fury rematch goes on this Saturday night. We can't think of a better way to wager on the fight than doing it with the actual free money. Head over to BetOnline.ag and use our promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We signed up super easy, and if you're already into betting, it's a fantastic way to support this podcast. Again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up at betonline.ag. It's BetOnline, your online sports book experts.
All right, Jason, we got to talk about the report that came out at the same time from Casey Johnson, from Joe Colley at the Sun-Times, about the changes that the Bulls are going to make, apparently, next season in the front office. Essentially, what both reports said is that the Bulls are going to hire a GM, which is still technically Gar's title, even though it feels like he hasn't had as much influence in recent years. So they're going to hire a new GM to be like sort of the face of the franchise, the person talking to the media. That GM is going to work in concert with Paxson and Foreman. Foreman is going to be reassigned in more of a scouting role. I think that that's basically the role he already has.
Yeah.
Quick sidebar, I do believe that Gar lost his power after I wrote a big Fire Gar Foreman screed, which was like 3 or 4 years ago. So you're welcome. I'm feeling pretty good about that one. But then Paxson is still going to be in the front office and apparently have influence. And, you know, the Sun-Times story said that Doug Collins is the guy who doesn't like Gar because he questioned his hiring of Fred Hoiberg as a head coach. Well, if you thought Hoiberg was a bad head coach, wait till you see Jim Boylan. So this is the report that the Bulls are going to apparently hire a new GM. Paxson will maintain influence within the organization. He isn't going anywhere. Gar going to be reassigned to a scouting role. Quick takeaway, Jason, here's my first thought. It's not good enough. Fire these losers. Like, what's going to happen the first time they have a disagreement about who to draft? What's going to happen the first time they have a disagreement about which free agent to sign? Whose voice is going to win out there? So, like, one thing the Sun-Times report said is that Boylan still has significant support from the front office. So this new coach would have the power to fire him, the new GM would have the power to fire him and hire a new coach if he wants to. So then that's another thing where it's like, you know, you're sort of hanging him out to dry right away. Now, it's not like there's much risk involved because you literally could not hire a worse head coach than Jim Boylan. Like, you could hire a really smart golden retriever and you could probably coach the Bulls as well as Jim Boylan has. But, you know, you're already like setting this up where like, you know that Paxson loves getting credit. You know that Gar is basically a rat, that he, like, bugged the office against Thibodeau back in the day, was spying on the team, is going to be power hungry. And now you have a situation where a new guy's going to come in and he's going to have some power, but not full power. So how appealing is that job, especially right. when yeah. we know the Bulls aren't going to pay top salary? Another part of that report was that like the Bulls want to expand their scouting team. Thank God, it's about time, Bulls. This should have been done 20 years ago. But in terms of, you know, is this good enough? I say absolutely not. Paxson needs to be fired. And, you know, they're trying to do a Kenny Williams White Sox situation. But, you know, when the White Sox hired Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams moved into the background, what they said at the time for the White Sox is that the White Sox were adopting a Bulls situation. Because the Bulls had done that with Gar moving to GM, Paxson moving upstairs in 2009. We know how that worked out. Not good enough. Fire John Paxson. Fire Gar Forman. Fire him.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I know. I mean, I guess it's just the loyalty thing. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf apparently just can't bring himself to, like, fire underperforming executives for whatever reason. Yeah, like, you make the whole point about, like, who, like, what, I mean, I guess their idea would be, like, they're not going to hire anybody that who's, like, established himself as an executive if they're going to be reporting to Paxson. So, like, I guess they'd be just hoping that they're going to get, like, the young and hungry up-and-coming guy who would be willing to take that kind of role. Like, I guess, like, Casey called it as, like, an empowered presence in the front office, and Cowley, I think, said a GM with a loud voice. Like, I mean, I don't even know what that really means. And yeah, I know Greenberg pointed out that whole, like, how a lot of people are saying, oh, they're following the White Sox model. They're following the White Sox model who followed the Bulls model, like you said. Like, that, I didn't even think about it that way, like, until, like, he pointed that out. It's like they're just kind of going, like, the same cycle. It's like Reinsdorf's like, oh, well, you know, the White Sox are, now that Rick Hahn is, like, looking pretty good and their rebuild is looking pretty good, well, let's just go do that again with the Bulls. And we'll see if that works again, because, like, the Bulls also, it kind of worked, I guess, for a little bit, because they had Derek, and they had the big, and they built a good bench mob, and they had some really good teams there. So now they're just trying to recycle it again, basically. And like you mentioned, yeah, like, when it comes to, like, the decision making, like, how much autonomy will that new guy actually have? If Paxson is still there, if, like, Gar is whatever, the head of scouting, but I would feel like, considering his experience, you'd think he'd probably still have some type of role there. Like, is he just going to be completely neutered? Like, is he going to allow that to happen? I don't know. It just doesn't make it just. A clean house. Like, it doesn't, these guys have been around forever. I don't understand. Just, like, make a dang move. Like, I do get it, but I don't get it. Because, like, when we talk, like, the fire, again, going back to the fire Garpax thing, and just this All-Star weekend, the chance on First Take, fire Garpax was trending on Twitter, I think worldwide, maybe. If anything, it was at least in the United States. If you look at anything the Bulls, like, social media tweets, basically, all the replies are fire Garpax. There's billboards going up. There are T-shirts going out. Like, and given just what happened this All-Star weekend, with how much the Bulls were kind of humiliated as a franchise, I don't know how you look at that and be like, oh yeah, you know, like, we should definitely keep this kind of status quo. Like, we'll bring in one outside guy, but we're gonna keep around the guys who have been around forever and who everyone hates and wants to get rid of. Like, how can you be just so, like, tone deaf and, like, lack the self-awareness? Like, you'd think, I mean, you would hope, like, I mean, these reports say Michael Reinsdorf is, like, talking to league, like, confidants around the league. Like, those guys are probably like, oh yeah, you should definitely do this. Like, keep those guys around. Well, we totally love it. And, like, it's, like, they have no problem doing that because they see the dysfunction. They see issues the Bulls have had. So, they're selling them on a raw deal. Just, like, have the backbone. And who knows what Jerry's even doing these days. Like, Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf made, like, no appearances. Jerry Reinsdorf had some interview that came out, like, last week, but it was talking about, like, the Jordan Bulls, like, nothing about the current team. They've, like, nothing about the current team, trying to sell the current team on anything, because they know that they're just going to get ripped and booed. So it's like, I mean, what the hell are we even doing here?
Yeah, and my main takeaway is that Michael Reinsdorf, not good enough. Like, Michael Reinsdorf, this is your franchise now. Jerry's 83 years old. Michael's going to be the guy who's in control of this franchise moving forward. I remember reading a profile of Jerry back in the day where he advised Michael never to sell the Bulls, probably because they're a cash cow. If Michael Reinsdorf is going to be the long-term owner for the Chicago Bulls, he needs to grow a pair, dude. Like, first of all, grow up. Like, you're not going to fire these guys who suck because they're your friends. Get over it, dude. Fire them.
Okay.
They are losers. Paxson's 60 years old. Paxson should just step down. I'm going to continue ripping John Paxson until he finally quits, because I'll just say it. The Bulls will never succeed with John Paxson still as a part of the organization. It's never going to happen. He has a long track record of being unable to evaluate talent, not having any conviction in his evaluations. And as long as John Paxson has a prominent voice in the room, the Bulls will never succeed. So, Michael Reinsdorf, this is on you now, bro. Like, the fire Garpax movement rests on your shoulders. And again, like, you feel like, oh, this season's gone so poorly that we got to make a move now. It almost seems like he's caving into the pressure. Grow up, man. Like, just fire these losers. It's not that hard.
I mean, it's not like it's been like, it's not like they haven't gotten a fair shot. They've been, John Paxson has been running this franchise for 17 years. 17 years, one Eastern Conference Finals appearance, one Eastern Conference Finals win. Guard's been GM since 09, so that's over a decade. Like, these guys have been around forever. It's not like they're getting like the short straw here. They've had their chance. Most of their sometimes franchises might move on from guys too fast. They don't give them a chance to build something. These guys have gone through like multiple rebuilds, a ton of head coaches, without championship success. And when you get to that point, it's just enough is enough. And like, now the fire Garpax movement is definitely hit a fever pitch this weekend. Like you said, I feel like these reports coming out, Greenberg mentioned this as well, that it kind of feels like it was a PR move to try to get some of the heat off, like ownership, like, and to say satisfy the fan base, like, oh well, changes are coming. But I feel like a lot of fans realize that if these guys aren't actually going anywhere, that's not good enough. I feel like most of my Twitter replies and what other people have said, that they realize that wouldn't be enough change. It's just not. You have to start over, try something new, bring in a full fresh front office to start something new, because what they've been doing just has not been working. We're in year three of a rebuild, and they're 19-36. They're mostly irrelevant. They're getting humiliated on the national stage at All-Star Weekend. And like I mentioned, the lack of presence for the Chicago Damn Bulls, who had Michael Jordan, who were a global brand in the 1990s, were huge. The fact that they were just like not anywhere to be seen besides a few things with Zach Wendell Carter Jr., it's just a shame. It's unacceptable. And the people in charge have to go because of it.
Yeah, Michael Reinsdorf. Like, that's going to be the new guy that I'm complaining about from now on. The Fire Garpax movement has gotten us to this point. Now, Michael Reinsdorf, I mean, do we need to start chanting, sell the team? Like, Knicks fans did James Dolan? Because that actually made Dolan make some moves, and he addressed the chant. Like, a week later, he was like, well, I'm not going to sell the team. But so maybe we need to start chanting, sell the team at Michael Reinsdorf if he's too much of a coward to fire these losers that he's empowered in the front office. And it's like, it's just, there's no confidence in me that this is going to be any better, right? Even if they hire someone smart who has good ideas, there's always going to be a power struggle. There's always going to be a question of who really had the final say. And it's just so fucking disappointing, man. Like, Michael Reinsdorf, grow up. Fire him.
Yeah, I think that's really all we can say.
He seems like an idiot. Like, just sell the team. What? Like, why do you want to
Is it worth, like, $4 billion?
Exactly. Sell him.
Yeah.
Michael Reinsdorf sucks. I'm out. Michael, call me if you want to. I know you like to reach out to fans and season ticket holders instead of like actually fucking doing something about addressing the long tenured problems within the franchise. It's not good enough, man. You got to fire these.
Who's the young Reinsdorf guys? Is it Joey?
Joey, yeah. I've been meaning to bring this up, dude. Joey Reinsdorf is our only hope. I'm all in on Joey. Joey apparently the last update I read, I believe, was from 2017. He was an economics major at Northwestern, and he was really into sports analytics. And he's the one who got Jerry to bring the All-Star Game to Chicago. So I'm all in on Joey. Michael has to cede to Joey, and like, what does Joey think? Assuming he's like a 21-year-old guy, he knows that everyone hates the direction of the franchise. And he, if he's, you know, more intelligent than his dad, I think he should know that this isn't good enough. It's a half measure, just dipping their toes in the water, not making any real changes. So, Joey, your only hope. We invite you on cash considerations.
Your only hope.
Yeah. We invite him on cash considerations if he wants to come on. Like, we would chill with him for sure. Convince Michael that this has got to change.
Yeah, that's got to change. Any other final thoughts? I did have a few things we haven't brought up yet. I will say the Kobe Bryant tributes, we figured that there was going to be a lot of it. There were. They were very good. Magic Johnson talked. Jennifer Hudson did a pretty chilling song tribute to him. There was a lot of good stuff for Kobe. So that was just kind of pretty cool to see. Obviously, the players talked a lot about how much Kobe meant to them. And there were a lot of questions after the game about the competitiveness and how it was like a good tribute to Kobe having that competitive game. So shout out to Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. It was a bunch of great tributes there. One thing I wanted to know, this was another big thing, the All-Star Court with the Chicago skyline, I thought was really dope, and the Bulls should keep that. Don't even put the Bulls logo back on the court. Keep the Chicago All-Star skyline court, because it looks really cool, and the Bulls are awful. The skyline is way cooler than the Bulls at this point. One other, I think, final note that I had was, when we were walking down, I think it was after the Rising Stars game, we were walking in the media room, and Zion was about to walk past us, and then he stopped, big grin on his face, took a picture with a couple kids. They were just probably made their night taking a picture with Zion Williamson. Shout out to Zion Williamson for being just a cool dude. He's obviously absolutely huge, and I was kind of starstruck myself kind of seeing that. That was a really awesome moment, just kind of seeing him, just enjoying it with some young fans down in the bowels of the United Center.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments of the weekend. So we the media seating for us was just like a carved out area of the stands in the 300 level where all the media was sitting. So Jason and I were watching the game next to each other for a while. Then I had a buddy who was at the game, and he said he had an open seat next to him. So I went over there to say what's up to him, ended up sitting down for a little bit. And behind us were two little kids. I'm saying like 4, 5, 6 years old in Zion jerseys. This is during the Rising Stars Challenge. So there's one play in the game where I forget. So his Zion was getting a noop from his teammate, and RJ Barrett kind of like fouled him
and tackled him
and messed up the alley-oop. And these two little kids behind me wearing Zion jerseys just start booing RJ Barrett, like, boo RJ, what are you doing? So funny. And, you know, as someone who covered the draft this last year, I think that's how everyone should feel about RJ Barrett, because he's not very good. And we want Zion oops. Zion's a hero. I saw so many kids in Zion jerseys, which is just awesome to see.
Yeah,
so
the guy's already a superstar. He also broke, like, this rim or stanchion, whatever,
rim,
like, setup they had on one of his alley-oops, because he just can throw it down so hard. Like, yeah, that was really awesome. And yeah, seeing him was really cool. And guy's already a superstar. Like, he's so far, I know it's only been, whatever, 10, 11 games he's played, but the guy has already lived up to the hype. Absolutely incredible. A lot of fun. Hopefully will be an all-star for many years to come. Next year it's in Indianapolis, so it's not going very far. So there will probably be plenty of media complaining about how cold it is again, which was kind of funny. It was really fucking cold those first couple days, but after that it was a pretty nice weekend. And I thought, while the Bulls are a joke, Chicago did a nice job putting on this. Although there was one other thing, where we were sitting in the 300 level in 327, for like those like intro like tributes, like the Chicago tribute, the Kobe tribute, they did not have like one of the Jumbotron screens on, so I could not see the damn video. I don't really know why that they were doing that. This is just going to be me complaining about that, but like, I don't get it. I wanted to see this damn Chicago video. And obviously, you could see it online right away, but like, I wanted to see it in the moment. I couldn't see anything. I thought maybe like the screen was broken and it was another embarrassing thing about the Bulls, but turns out that must have been a stylistic choice, a technical choice. I don't know, but I wanted to see the damn videos. One other funny thing, I guess, which is a perfectly fitting about this Bulls franchise and organization, is that one of the Milwaukee Bucks beat writers tweeted a video of him in the media room, and some like dark brown like poop smelling liquid was like falling on their table. How fitting is that? Just like poop falling from the United Center onto the table. Sounds like your Chicago Bulls. Pretty fitting. But in general, again, this was a great weekend. Chicago did a great job. Chicago showed out. It was a ton of fun to be there for my first All-Star experience. A lot of fun. Ricky, you have any final thoughts here about All-Star weekend in Chicago?
No, it was great. I thought the city did a good job. And it's in Indy next year, so hopefully I'm able to go to that. So I think that wraps it up for us.
And obviously, we have a few days off, thank God, before the Bulls return to action on Thursday at home against the Charlotte Hornets. We mentioned that Wendell Carter Jr. might be back. We'll totally see about that. We'll see if any, like, whatever. Who knows what the hell is going on with Otto Porter Jr. or Lowry. We actually did walk by Lowry. We saw him, I think that was Friday night or Saturday night. He looked to be moving okay, I guess. But, I mean, you never really
He's very tall.
Yeah, he is huge. Like, he, you, I feel like I always forget that Lowry is a 7-footer. He is legit a definite 7-footer. He is an absolute monster. But yeah, Bulls, Hornets, Thursday, and I can't. Their upcoming schedule is actually pretty easy. I think they play like the Wizards again. I mean, quote unquote easy given the way they're playing. I think they play the Wizards again. They got like the Knicks and Suns coming up. So like, what slowly is going to happen is they're probably going to win a few of these bum slaying games, and they're going to make like a final push, and people will probably get half excited about them again. And then once we get into March and April, they play like basically all playoff teams, and they'll probably just get their ass kicked and end up in like the low 30s in wins and a couple, four or five, maybe a couple games out of the playoffs, depending on how like the Magic do. The Magic are also terrible. So, and we're back to reality. Chicago Bulls basketball. A bunch of people were tweeting like after the All-Star game ended, like, yeah, this was a ton of fun, but now the next like games on this court will be the shitty Bulls. And Greenberg tweeted something about he tweeted a picture of the Luka Doncic like poster outside, and it was like, this will be replaced by Luke Kornet in the coming days. So. Kind of sad. We're back to the Bulls, but we do have a few days off, thank God, and take a nice little breather here after a busy All-Star weekend, which was a ton of fun. So that'll wrap it up here for us, Cast Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast, recapping the All-Star weekend. We were live from All-Star weekend. As always, thank you to our sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Thank you to Blue Wire. I'd like to give a shout-out to Ricky Ewer with SB Nation. I'd like to give a shout-out to Matt, Bulls blogger, Seth Pollock, SB Nation for applying for the credential for me and getting me into All-Star Weekend. That was great to be there again. For our podcast, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your pods. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. So this has been Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Jason, Ricky, take it easy, guys, and we'll talk to you next week after the Bulls are back. Unfortunately, take it easy.